This is message number MM76. This is the sixth in the series of the Maranatha Motorcycle Ministry Conference 1994. This is entitled Watch Yourself. This is a devotional by Mike Hughes.
I've been able to come up here for about 4 years, and man, the teaching we get up here has been fantastic. Damien, that study on Ahithophel, I got to hear that at pastor's conference year before last, and it ministered then. It ministered on a trip up to Oregon and Washington that I took, and it ministered again last night, knowing the punchline even. That is an awesome study, man. I have opportunity at times to deliver motorhomes for Fleetwood through a company. And this last January, I took one out to Virginia. And I ran into places like Quartzsite. And, just all kinds of, you know, interesting places. I'd never been back east, so it was a real experience for me to go out there. This motorhome that I took back was a 37-foot Pace Arrow, about a $100,000 motorhome. I was styling, it had every amenity in it that you could ever want. Stereo, two TVs, you know, VCR, CD players, everything. And it took about 4.5 days for me to drive back to Richmond, Virginia with this thing. The Lord was really gracious because I got out there between two blizzards. It cleared off for the time I was there. They got the roads cleared, everything. I went out through the south, out old Route 66, and most of the way through there, going through Texas and Oklahoma, Arizona, Arkansas, it was about 75 to 80 degrees. So they say California is, you know, supposed to have real nice weather. Well, I was blown away. And then when I got back east, it was, you know, going on minus something. But on my way back, I started reading in the book of Judges, and I am by no means a biblical scholar. I am probably dangerous enough to get into a lot of trouble if I'm not real careful. But I was reading, and I got into chapters 3 and 4, and I noticed something really interesting in these chapters. It said, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord." And the Lord kind of spoke to me and said, "This is you. This is you." And when Israel sinned in the sight of the Lord, the sin was, the Lord dealt with them by putting them under a king from another country into bondage, as it were. And in Judges chapter 3, starting at verse 12, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil, again did evil in the sight of the Lord." So the king of Moab against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. "Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek and went and defeated Israel and took possession of the city of palms. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. And when the children of Israel cried to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man." Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged and a cubit in length, and fastened it under the clothes on his right thigh. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man, And when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. And he said, keep silence. And all who attend him went out from him. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached in with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly, even to the hilt. It went in after the blade. And the fat closed over the blade, and he did not draw out the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. Then Ehud went out through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. Then in chapter 4, Ehud dies, and he says, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. And the children of Israel cried to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh and Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord of Israel commanded, saying, go and deploy troops to the Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men, the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I surely will go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zaanim, which is beside Kadesh. And he reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, up, for this day, this is the day which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera with all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots of the army of Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, a Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord, turn aside for me. Do not fear. And when he turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, please give me a drink of water, for I am thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here? You shall say no. Then Jael, Haber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary and died. Father, as we go into this, I just first of all ask that you would quicken my mind and bring back the words that you gave me. And Lord, just bless our hearts as we share in this. I thank you for this opportunity, and Father, we just come here to honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading this on my trip, the Lord really used this as a kind of a prophetic speech to me through both of these chapters, because he knew what I was going to do being 3,000 miles away from home and alone. I have a wife and 5 children, and they keep me very occupied, which can keep me out of a lot of trouble. Well, being alone, it's real easy to let yourself wander. And the Lord was telling me, be careful. You don't, you need to watch yourself. Israel, in these, sinned against me because they had a desire to fulfill the flesh instead of fulfilling God's word. Mike, you have the same desire in your heart. And as time went on, it proved to be true. I spent time out there. I spent 3 days in a truck stop in Virginia waiting to deliver the motorhome, because the day I got there was Saturday and they wouldn't accept it. And so in the truck stop, they had this trucker's theater for professional drivers where you're allowed to go watch movies or just kick back and rest. What I should have done was just spend time in the motorhome. What I did was I spent some time in the theater. And what the Lord was saying was showing me was, here's a fulfillment of what I'm trying to tell you. You are going to sin against me. And each time Israel sinned, God sent a deliverer when Israel cried out for help. But that deliverer was only a temporary deliverer each time. Now, these passages that I chose that really stuck out in my mind because of the graphic details of the deaths of the men that were there. One was stabbed, and the other had a tent peg drove through his temple. And as I read those passages, the Lord said, this is the attitude that I want you to have with your flesh. Kill it. Paul said, I have to die daily. And being alone on that trip, I found that that was absolutely necessary. Not just to die daily, but second by second. It was so easy being alone on my own. And so I can say I'm so grateful that the Lord allows us to have a family, to be around friends that are there, and we are accountable then. But God also knows us when we're alone. He knows our hearts. He knows how we are. And so as I read those passages of Israel again sinned, I was able to go, see, they just keep doing that. Well, what I needed to do was insert my own name and say, and Mike again sinned in the Lord. These were under the Old Testament, and the deliverances were temporary. Then God sent Christ, who is our permanent deliverer. He is there constantly praying for us, knowing what we're going through. And he is able to deal with us on an individual basis through the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if God would have been able to get this through to me had he not been able to get me alone for 3 weeks. But he used that time out on the East Coast to grab my heart and my mind and say, there's going to be trouble ahead. You're going to fall, but my grace is sufficient. My love is sufficient. He caused a time for me to be honest with myself and say, I am in bondage to the flesh. But that if I keep my eyes on the Lord, that bondage can be stripped away because he is there to help take care of it. In Romans chapter 8, it says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Each time Israel was in bondage and they called out to the Lord, God sent him a deliverer. But the deliverer was only temporary. We now have a permanent deliverer, and we can call out and not be again under that bondage. And we have the ability to cry out to the Father and say, Abba, Father. The other thing that was really spoke to me on this was that if I have to put my flesh to death, then God must see things in us and in me that are not of him. And if they're not of him, then he doesn't want him there. And if we're going to take on the mind of Christ, then we don't want him there either. Let's not again. I don't ever again want to be in a position where I'm in that bondage, but I know it comes up. So just as with the death of Eglon by the hand of Ehud and the death of Sisera by the hand of Jael brought deliverance from bondage for Israel, a temporary deliverance, the death and resurrection of Christ delivered us from the bondage of sin in our lives and continues to deliver us day by day. Father, thank you for that deliverance. Help me, Lord, to continue to just look at you and to cry out, Abba, Father. Help me to call you before I go into sin. Help me to cry out to you that sin does not reign in my body, but that your spirit reigns. And thank you that through Christ, you've given the ability to mankind to do that, to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, to not again be under the bondage of sin. And when we do fall, you say, confess your sins, and you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. For further information, please contact Calvary Chapel of Paradise, P.O. Box 295, Paradise, California, 95967. Distribution of this message is encouraged without modification. And may the Lord richly bless you as you study His Word.